This is the 19th day of July 2026. We are going to look at the second part of this fourth lesson in our new series. The new series is entitled The Word Spreads, a study in the book of Acts. And today we're looking at part number two of this lesson entitled Heart Matters. Heart Matters. We looked at it last week here in Acts chapter number 5. We looked at some servants with a selfish attitude. You remember the story last week about Ananias and Sapphira? And we looked at their selfishness, and it needed to be seen as a serious matter. They were trying to glory in things in pride. And folks, I'm telling you, there's no glory, there's no good thing about pride. Pride brings man down. It brings man down. And this pride issue basically got them both killed. God took them and said, I'm not putting up with this in my new church. And so we saw God's discipline, how it was swift and it was serious last week. But then I want us today, starting here in Acts chapter number 5, beginning of verse number 12, I want us to see some true servants of God who had a sacrificial attitude. And you know, serving the Lord, what a blessing it is that we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. I appreciate Mrs. Lippy. Mrs. Lippy came in on Friday, and she didn't have to, but she did. She came in and played the piano for us for the service. Ms. Lippy, I didn't get a chance to tell you Friday afternoon, but I appreciate your help with that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate those of you that took off time this week and served with Bible school, Vacation Bible School. Man, they were there. I think there were a total of, I think we had about 18 folks saved, young people saved, between the Vacation Bible School and Teen Revival. I believe there were about 18 folks that trusted Christ as their Savior. Great decisions were made. But you know what? It would not have happened without folks like you that volunteered to help out. You know, many of you are volunteering to help out with this evening with our hot dog fellowship and with just the little things. You know, the little things. It seemed like, boy, so many times, so many of the little things, they catch up with you, don't they? And you need folks just to step in and say, hey, thank you. I was praising the Lord for Mason and Marissa Friday, helping me put out cones out in the parking lot out here. And they're out there taping stuff and fixing signs up for me and helping out. And they're all in here helping out, getting things done. We had the floors being stripped and waxed, and Brother Kevin and him coming in, and different folks coming in, doing different stuff everywhere. I mean, there's busy stuff going on everywhere you look. But they did it with a joyful heart. And man, I'm thankful for that. And you know what? That's what we see here in the example that we have in the Word of God. And in Acts chapter number 5 here today, I want us to see this today because this is important. The matters of our heart and how we serve the Lord. Do we do it just to be, you know, to be seen? Or do we do it because we love the Lord? Because we love the Lord. You know what? God wants us to serve Him from a grateful heart. I watched as my granddaughters this week have helped my wife downstairs with some orders and things like that. And they're in there trying to help out with stuff and do things for them. And we went last night. We went up to, where did we go to eat last night? Want to take them someplace special. Oh, the buffet place, the hibachi place in Hanover. And it had been such a busy day, and they were trying to help, and I was here until late yesterday. And I told them, I said, I just want to do something special with them. So we went up there, and I like that thing because you can go and pay just one price, and then you can eat all you want, okay? And they got ice cream after that. And I think, Sophia, you had chocolate ice cream, and then you had some watermelon ice cream too, right? Yeah? And I think Julie had watermelon ice cream. And we about had to roll Julie out in a van, you know. She ate so much there yesterday. But it's just, you just want to just enjoy things, you know. But you know what? I love them because they came up here just to have a good time. And it's been a busy week. But you know what? They jumped in there and tried to help us out with things. And you know what? That's what the early church was doing. Folks got saved. Christ had made a difference in their life. And you know what they wanted to do? They just wanted to help some folks. They just wanted to be a part of it and be an encouragement and a strength to people. And you know, that's the way our hearts need to be today. We want to be a strength. I want to be a strength and encouragement to each of you. I want you to know that I love you. There are times I've missed birthdays, okay? And let's see, I missed one back here. Did you get your candy bar? You did. Okay, all right. It's 3 weeks late, but bless God, it's still good. Amen? All right. It's still good. I'm glad you got that thing. But you know what? Sometimes we miss things, and I feel bad about it, and I'm thinking, man, what? How in the world did I miss this? And we just do. It happens. But you know what? These folks got involved, and they said, you know what? We want to be a help to others come to Christ, and we want to encourage them now that they know Christ. And so we see here the apostles' influence expanded here in this chapter. And if you look in verses 12 through 16, we see how that God had a definite plan for those early church apostles. And he manifested his power and blessing upon them so that others could see the reality of God's saving power in their lives. Now, they came to receive Christ as their Savior. God literally authenticated his chosen apostles. He authenticated them, proved to this area of people that these were the men that God had chosen. They weren't dressed up, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing. They were there to bring people to Christ. And you think about it. These were men that deserted their Savior. These were men like Peter who said, I'll never run from God. You know, I'll stand up for you, Lord, though everybody else fails you. And then what did he do? He ran as well. And yet, God chose to use them. And the Bible said here in verse number 12 that by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now I want you to look what Luke writes here in verse number 13. The Bible said, and of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now I want you to see what's happening here. Last week we saw what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. They died because they tried to lift up themselves before the people to make themselves something big when they weren't big. And God said, I'm not having that. And he took care of business early in this church. And in this verse, we see how that those who thought like Ananias and Sapphira, that wanted to make of themselves something to be bigger than God. We see that a lot of times on this TV evangelism stuff. I just stand amazed. I stand amazed of all this stuff in the religious world we see today. And all for pride's sake. All for self's sake. And they want to lift up themselves. Listen, I've learned if you'll lift up the Savior, he'll exalt you in due time. He'll take care of your needs. He'll watch over you. And these folks, they thought, you know, they thought like Ananias and Sapphira. They were in the ministry only for selfish gain. They only wanted what they could get out of it and think themselves to be something big. And God said no. And God took those two folks out. And now those folks that were around like that, they avoided being around God's chosen men They didn't want to be around them. And they sought other places to show themselves as something big. And so those who saw and those folks that heard and they believed the message of the gospel by God's men, God blessed them. And they began to grow. And their hearts were changed. They had compassion for other people. And look how God continued to bless and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 14 through 16. Look at this. The Bible said, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now, you say, preacher, is that not what we're seeing on all this stuff on TV today and all these things? No, that's not the same thing, folks. Listen, you don't have to lay down the floor. I never read in the Bible where they lay down the floor and cackle like a chicken. They don't knock them down on the ground and somebody has to catch them. You don't see the women having to be covered by modesty cloths, okay? In churches today, that's happening. Down south, that was a big thing. Snakes and all this other mess and all this stuff. Devil's deceptions. That's not what we're seeing here. God did these great miracles to prove to the people that these folks had been around Jesus. They were God's men. And God used these miracles to draw the folks to the truth of God's word. Why? For one purpose. Not that they might glory in the miracles that were being done, but they might glory in the folks that were being saved because they came to trust Christ as their Savior. You've got to remember, there were many there that cast spells upon people, vexations, demons, and devils were prominent among the people in the religious Jewish sects. They were there. And God, by His power, cast out those things so that people could see that there was power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples, these apostles, took a bold stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this impotent man was healed, you're about to see what happened because of that. Look at verse number 17. As God now blesses and folks are being saved and the church is growing, the devil now curses and sends forth his disciples to hinder and to attempt to stop the work of God going on among the people. And here we see, Brother Luke wrote in verses 17 and 18, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which were in the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. That's a fancy way of saying they were mad. Now, you tell me something. Why would anybody be mad about God healing folks and bringing life to folks that were vexed by the devil and folks getting saved and their hearts being changed, families being reunited together? Why would they be mad about that? I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't of them. They got mad because it wasn't of them. They were full of pride. And the Bible said here, they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They put them in jail. For what purpose? Because they preached the word of God. They did what God said do. Now, I want you to understand, God wasn't going to put up with that either. And God made his disciples, these apostles, more than conquerors. Like our verse says, Romans 8:37, we've been made more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible said here that in verses 19 through 21, God sent the angel of the Lord. Now look at this. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people, what? All the words of this life. What life? The new life in Christ. This new life that comes only by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go and tell them, speak the words of this life to these people. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught. They taught the people. You know what? The people went to the temple. They wanted to know truth. They wanted to know that their sins could be forgiven. They wanted to know about the power of God upon their lives. But they weren't hearing it from the Sadducees and the priests and things like that. They were empty. They went in empty and they left every time empty. Now they went in empty, yearning for truth. And the Lord says, I'm going to get you out. You get on down there and tell them what they need to hear. So praise God. Can you imagine that? I bet the devil was mad about that. Amen. And these guys, well, we're going to find out. I want to get ahead. Good night. I'm getting excited here. As the early morning light came to that city, think about it. They go out in the dark hours. The angel comes in at night. They go out early in the morning. And as the sun has come up, the devil sends his disciples in there to go get those boys. Go fetch them. We're going to accuse them of bad things. The high priest is going to do that. Beginning here in the last part of verse 21, going down through verse 25. Look what the Bible said. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel. And they sent to the prison to have them brought. Now they get their big crowd of bad guys all in there. And they say, all right, we're going to get ready to persecute these guys. Go get them and bring them to us. Look at what the Bible said. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. What happened? The Lord said, the angel of the Lord said, beam them up. Send them over to the temple. He got them out of there. He opened up the doors. They didn't even know they were gone. That's how God worked. And God had them down at the temple. And look at this. No man was found within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Man, God got his men where they needed to be at just the right time. Amen. Isn't that great how God works? And isn't it amazing that the captain of the temple, along with the guards and these high priests of the temple, they, after hearing all this stuff, they still chose to defy the very work of God that was going on in there. Can you imagine that? Look what Luke writes here in verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. They brought them without violence. I imagine they went in and said, fellas, the chief priest wants to see you. We won't cause any trouble because they had a crowd now. You think about this. Look at what the Bible said. The Bible said they brought them without violence. Why? For they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked him, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? What name were they commanded not to teach in? The name of Jesus. It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't the Pope. Okay? It wasn't Hare Krishna. It wasn't Confucius. It wasn't Allah. Okay? It wasn't Muhammad. It was the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation that can be laid except Christ. And boy, they knew it. And yet, they defied it. They stood against it. Why? Because they, even like the hearts of men and women today, are defying truth. They hate truth. They hated the truth. Did we not tell you that you should not preach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. No, they did that themselves. Do you remember when Pilate said, crucify him? Why? Why should we crucify? He said, crucify him and let his blood be on us and on our children. They said that. And now they're trying to turn it around and make it sound like, listen, you guys are putting this man's blood on us, and we don't like that. They already said, let his blood be on us. We don't care. Just kill him. Get rid of him. Well, they couldn't get rid of him. Amen? And notice in the very next verses how God empowers his men, these disciples. These are the same men that at one time, without the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon them, they ran and they hid for fear of the Jews. Now what happens? Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Man, that'd make a good bumper sticker, wouldn't it? Amen? I think that'd make a good bumper sticker. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And I can see it in my mind. They're pointing at him. Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Man, what boldness these men had. They stood, they proclaimed the word of God. And now we read in verse 33, look at this. Because they hated the message of the gospel, then they hated these disciples as well. The Bible said when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to what? To slay them. To slay them. Why? Because they hated truth. Sounds like our world today, does it not? They want to do away with the Christians. They want to do away with law enforcement today. They want to do away with prisons. Let the prisoners go. Do away with the borders, all this other stuff. And you know what God is doing? He is showing us a slight picture of what it's going to be like when you and I are taken out of this world. And the Spirit of God is taken out of this world. And the hearts of men are going to be wicked. They're not going to do anything. Even though they know they're fighting against God, they're still going to curse God and call him names and just turn their backs totally against truth and righteousness. We're seeing a little portion of that coming in our day right now. And it's nothing like it's going to be when we're out of here. And thank God, we're going to be out of here. Amen? It can't be long. Look at what the Bible said. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You know what? Jesus told them this was going to happen. Turn in your Bible just a moment back to the book of Luke chapter 21. I want you to look at this verse. And listen, you may be working in the workplaces today, and you're going through some of these persecuting times. You got folks that don't like it because you've got some standards, some morals in your life that are built upon the Word of God. I know of business owners right now that are taking some hard hits because they won't bow the knee to government and doing other things that they know they ought not do, they can't do. And you know what? They're still standing, but they're fighting some battles today. But why are they fighting the battles? Well, Jesus told them why here in Luke chapter 21, verse 17. He told them there, he said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It's because you know Jesus." And in John chapter 17, verse 14, if you go over that chapter, that's the chapter where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse number 14 of that chapter, as Jesus prayed for his disciples, this is what he said to his heavenly Father. He said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Folks, do you see what Jesus is saying? There's a difference between God's children and the devil's children. And the problem in our religious world today is that the world has gotten so churchy and the churches have gotten so worldly, you can't tell the two apart. And Jesus said, there needs to be a difference. Don't worry about it. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They hated my word, they're going to hate the word of God when you preach it, when you teach it. Jesus said, listen, don't you worry about it. Why? Because you're not of this world. Listen, we're not of this world, folks. We're of another world. And I'm looking forward to going home one day. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus one day, aren't you? And one day, folks, listen, as a born-again child of God, you and I are not of this present world. Now, we have to be in it. We're in it, but we're not of it. We have been left here to be lights for those that are walking in darkness. And the world doesn't realize it. Listen, you don't realize you're going off the edge of the cliff if you're in the dark walking toward the edge of the cliff. Somebody needs to be there to lead them, to guide them, to bring them back and say, you don't need to go this direction. You need to go God's way in this way of living. And as these high priests thought on these things, one man stood up in the midst of them. And he said something here that I want you to see, some sound advice he gave. Look at Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse number 34. "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law." Do you remember this man, Gamaliel? Who was it that became a great man of God that was taught at the feet of Gamaliel? Saul of Tarsus. Later become the Apostle Paul. This man stood up. The Bible said he had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth for a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught." Why were they brought to naught? Because they were following a man, not Christ. They were not following Christ. They were following a man. Look what else he said. "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished." You see, religion can't help you, folks. What you need is relationship. And that only comes, relationship with God only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now look what Gamaliel told them. He said, "You need to refrain from these men. Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." Boy, that was sound advice, was it not? Man, this man knew. And I'm reminded here what the Apostle Paul said over in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He said this, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And folks, that's where you and I have to make up our heart. Not just our mind, but we need to make up our heart that we're going to take a stand for God. No matter what happens, no matter what anybody else says, we're going to stand true to the Word of God. When men come back and say, "Well, why do you say this?" Because the Bible says this. Why do you go out and try to tell folks about Jesus? Again, 3 funerals in 3 days. Three. Folks come back and they say, "Well, why do you want to give the gospel? You want to help folks. You don't want to make them feel guilty about sin." And I'm thinking, this is a time that we need to give the gospel because men's hearts are grieving. They need to know that God loves them and has prepared a place for them that they can go one day if they will be willing to believe His word and receive Him as their Savior. And folks, we need to give the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, we see the response of these leaders to Gamaliel's wise advice. Look at it. The Bible said, "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go." Now, you know what would happen with the average Christian today? If they'd threatened them, let alone beat them, they'd have run and never done anything else for God. They'd have never done anything else for God. But you know what happened? Because these men were filled with the power of God, the Bible said that they did not do that. Back in Acts chapter number 4, these religious leaders commanded the disciples, don't do it again. They threatened them. Now, here in these verses, they beat them and they threaten them and tell them, don't do it anymore. Okay? They tell them, don't do it anymore. But now in Acts, right here, verse number 29, Acts chapter 4, verse 29, those disciples prayed for power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, remember, they prayed for power. What kind of power? Read it with me. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we may make millions of dollars and be very prosperous in the ministry." Is that what they prayed? No. They said, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Now go back over to chapter 12. I know I got you going back and forth. Chapter 5 here. Chapter 5. Those vile leaders, they turned up the heat, so to speak. And the Bible said, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. And then the Bible said, verse 41, that when they departed from the presence of the council, they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And look what happened. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know how they were able to do that? They were able to do it because God had given them boldness. That boldness came from the power of the Holy Spirit of God living within them. And folks, as you go down in chapter 6, you're going to see the attitudes were changed. They cared about the widows. And when they didn't know what to do about the widows, they prayed and asked God for wisdom and power. And God said, this is what you need to do. And you know what they did? They trusted God. And God blessed it. We see in this lesson, Heart Matters, how God began to bless his church when the people's hearts were willing to follow after Jesus. And folks, that's what you and I have got to learn to do today. Listen, don't get mad because the preacher says something that you don't agree with. Listen, if he does, remember two things. Number one, he's a man. He's a human man. And human men make errors. We're not always perfect. I tell my wife all the time, I'm not always perfect. Last night we were going to that little restaurant and she said, turn right here. Turn right. I said, okay, I'm turning. No, right. I said, what? I am turning right. Oh, I meant left. The other way. She's pointing this way and she's saying this way. I was confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I mean, it was terrible. And I told her, I said, baby, I'm going to get you a pair of shoes that's got L and R on them. Okay? And it doesn't stand for Lisa and Ray, okay? It's going to be left and right. And I looked at her and I said, but I want you to understand that the one that says R for Ray is always right. I just found the parking spot and let her go where she wanted to go. Right? Listen to me. Jesus is always right. God's word is always right. It's a matter of our heart. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, folks. Don't trust your heart. Trust Jesus. And let's serve him with all of our heart today. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. And God, I want these lessons to be a help to your people. Lord, today we see how that you blessed that early church. And God, how that all of your blessings came because they were obedient to your word. Help us, Lord, to make our hearts to be right with your word and to do what you say do. And God, I pray, Lord, you'll bless our pastor as he stands to preach this morning. Help us, Lord, to lift him up in your prayers. He is just a man, but God, he's your man. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless him and strengthen him today. Give us the message that we need to hear. And Lord, help our hearts and our ears to be receptive to what he has to say. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.